So, you want to play Dungeons & Dragons? Welcome back, everybody, to this second episode. Here's the deal. Dungeons & Dragons character creation is complicated, okay? And as a dungeon master and as a player, I understand that. I actually was just going through the process of beginning to create a character for a campaign I'm going to be playing in. It's a complicated process. We are going to break down character creation in the next five episodes from today we're going to be talking about race and class and background all the way to after the first session and I'm getting into a whole campaign. Where do I take my character? All right, so that's the plan. Today, though, we're going to be talking about race, class, and background, okay? We're going to stick to the basic Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition races, classes, and backgrounds. I don't want to get it too complicated with homebrew or with additions or anything like that. So, let's start with race, okay? We've got 9 races. They are dwarf, elf, halfling, human, dragonborn, gnome, half-elf, half-orc, and tiefling. Okay, I just said a lot of words for new Dungeons & Dragons players. Some of those things are going to be familiar. You've heard of dwarves, you've heard of elves. Halflings are like hobbits, same idea. Human, hopefully you're familiar with. Dragonborn is like a half-lizard, half-dragon, but half-lizard, half-human type creation, humanoid. Gnomes are similar to halflings in size and makeup, but a little bit maybe daintier, a little bit maybe craftier, depending on your take on them. Half-elves are half-elf, half-human, half-orc, and tiefling, which is like a devilish humanoid. The history of all these different races is super complicated, or can be, depending on the lore for each world. We're not going to dive into that. My idea for this is to just kind of give you options for each of these things and kind of tell you just a snippet about them. Highly recommend that you purchase the Player's Handbook, the Wizards of the Coast Player's Handbook. Super helpful. And they're going to have information on all of these things. All of this information that I'm kind of just touching on, just kind of mentioning casually, is described in detail with benefits and all of those things in the Player's Handbook by Wizards of the Coast. And it's reasonably priced too. So you can purchase the book. You can also find all of the information online, but best to purchase the book. That way you make sure you get the accurate information. All right. So dwarfs, as you would imagine, sturdier build, good for fighters, maybe high constitution. They're just a hardier creature. Elves are very, you know, ancient and long-lived and wise and can be powerful spellcasters and so forth and so on. Halflings are, one interesting fact about them is they get halfling luck, which means in dice rolling, you can't roll the lowest number, which is kind of fun. Humans are actually one of the most diverse characters, and I personally love playing humans just because it tends to add to your ability scores, which we'll get into later. Dragonborns are a fun casting class, and also it's really unique to play a dragon character because immediately you have to face the question of, okay, how is my character related to a dragon? Is this some sort of curse? Is this some sort of long ago ancient bloodline? What are we talking here? Gnomes are super fun, a playful class, can be crafty, can be conniving, super fun class to play. Half-elves are maybe more dark, maybe more brooding. They're kind of outcasts of society, typically. A good folk hero or something like that. We'll get into backgrounds, but a good outlier class. Half-orcs, interesting, fun to play. You're bordering on, you know, where the orcs are typically considered in traditional D&D dangerous entities. So what's your history there? Tieflings are a super fun, edgy class. What's my history? How do I have this devilish ancestry? It's really fun to dive into the backstory character details there and figure out how is my race this way and what circumstances led myself or my family to this. Is it a curse? Is it just You're on a mission. There are so many possibilities with tieflings too. Really fun race to play. That's races, and that's just in a nutshell, okay? You're going to want to go through the handbook, but that's just kind of a very brief overview of that subject. Let's jump into class next, okay? Classes are pretty self-explanatory. They are specializations of your job, your skill set, all right? So you have barbarian, you're good at hitting things. You have bard, you're good at charming people and entertaining. Cleric, you're going to heal and counsel. Druid, nature, obviously. Fighter, self-explanatory. Monk, you're all around hit person with a spiritual connection. Paladin is a fun mix between fighter and caster. A really good class to start with if you're interested in both and can't choose between a magic user and a fighter. Ranger is a mix kind of between a druid and a fighter or a rogue, that type of build. So you get to emphasize in nature, but also still get to experience the fighting aspects. Rogue is a super fun class to play, especially because you're going to be used a lot in the game as far as checking for traps or searching for treasures or stealing things or so forth or so on. Sorcerer, another really fun magic-using class. And Sorcerer is fun just because of the backstory reasons of how you got your powers, a really interesting dynamic that you can play with there. Warlock is another one that typically has a patron, can be like a darker background, but also warlocks could have just a regular patron that's just giving them powers for some reason. So lots of ways to think outside the box there. Wizard is your educated magic user, and that one's quite fun to roleplay, especially if you like playing high intelligence characters. So that's a very brief overview of the main classes that you have available to you. Again, look through the player's handbook, find out what interests you, but hopefully that's a list to start from. Lastly is background, and this is the one that people forget about the most when they're building their character, but it's actually going to give you some very useful additional skill sets. So highly recommend, again, looking at that player's handbook, or if there's one here that stands out to you, Googling it, researching it, figuring out what's the correct background. Where is your character from? What additional skill set besides their class would they have? There's lots of different things that you can get when you're looking at the player's handbook, like what do these backgrounds give you as far as equipment, as far as skill sets or tools that you get. I highlighted the proficiencies that you get, which is a hint towards what the background is built for, okay? So you have 13 backgrounds. You have Acolyte, and those additional proficiencies you would get are Insight and Religion. You have Charlatan, which is Deception and Sleight of Hand, a little bit of a sneaky individual. Criminal, Deception and Stealth. Entertainer, Acrobatics, Performance. Folk Hero, Animal Handling and Survival. Guild Artisan, Insight and Religion. Hermit, Medicine and Religion. Noble, History and Persuasion. Outlander, Athletics and Survival. Sage, Arcana and History. Sailor, Athletics and Perception. Soldier, Athletics and Intimidation. And lastly, Urchin, Sleight of Hand and Stealth. Here's the deal. All of those backgrounds that I just mentioned also have variants in the player's handbook that you can look up. Like the Sailor one, for instance, has a pirate variation. There's so many different takes on this. Furthermore, if there's a type of background that you want to specialize in that isn't in the player's handbook, talk to your Dungeon Master. The Dungeon Master is there to help you achieve your creative vision, okay? So they are going to want to work with you to find the best solution to what you're trying to go for. Especially, don't come into it thinking, how can I get the most out of the stats in this game? How can I be the most efficient character build? That you can pay attention to that, and I recommend you pay attention to the numbers, the dice rolling mechanics that we'll get into. But so much more important than, oh, I want a good number, a good plus number for how much I need to roll, is how is this going to affect my character's roleplay and my character's abilities in and confidence in themselves? Who is your character? Build it from that perspective, not how can I get the most plus numbers in intimidation, or how can I get the strongest spellcasting ability possible? You can play the game that way, but you're going to find it so much more rewarding when you let the character influence how the numbers play out. When you focus on that character, when you focus the individual you want to portray during this game, you're going to be so happy with that result. every time. I guarantee it. My name is Elias Arwell. As always, get out there and have fun.